It's Thursday, September 30th, 2010, and welcome to episode 112 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom.
And I'm Lauren Ingram.
Welcome, Lauren. We have a guest in our studio today, and Lauren is a graduate student here at the ITC, so I wanted to invite Lauren in and talk a little bit about podcasting. He had expressed an interest in podcasting, so I thought, well, let's just do a live show here. I also have my undergrad class, what we call our Teaching and Learning with Technologies in Classrooms class, and we're doing some podcasting in there as well. So I thought I would just introduce some of the equipment, just bounce some of the questions, because I believe this is your first experience with podcasting.
Yep. Blank slate.
Okay. And I'm set up probably a little bit differently. I'm certainly set up differently than whenever I started this 3-4 years ago. Back when I started this, I was literally just using a regular computer, and I was recording off the hard drive of the computer using a program called Audacity. Mm-hmm. I used just a very cheap $10 microphone. And just plugged it into the computer, hit record on Audacity, and record it directly to the hard drive. And, you know, that's very easy to do. Any teacher can do that. Audacity is a free open source program. It's available for Mac, Windows, and Linux, so it's cross-platform. And even today, I still use Audacity for the post-production to edit things. So that works very well. In today's setup, however, I have introduced a mixer, because I'm starting to do some interviews and I'm trying to take this to the next level. So it did require me to get a mixer. I can bring in phone calls, Skype calls with something called a mix minus on my mixer. But just for very simple two-way interviews, you know, my setup just consists of a basic mixer. And I'll post some pictures out on the show notes if you'd like to see the setup that I'm using here. We have two microphones. I have a microphone in front of me. Lauren has a microphone in front of him, and then there, both microphones are fed back into my mixer, and then out of my mixer, I have a cable that plugs into a digital audio recorder. So I've taken the computer out of the equation at this point. I'm just using a digital audio recorder that records to an SD card, mm-hmm. and that saves it essentially as a WAV file.
Okay.
So whenever we finish with this, I'll take you through the post-production side using Audacity. But all I'm going to do is essentially pop that SD card out, pop it in my computer, and open it just like a regular file and import it into the Audacity program, and we'll be able to edit sound. And then we'll do a few things on post-production. I'll add the music on that. But that's the basic setup on doing this. Prior to this, I believe you have listened to some podcasts before, though, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay, and you have an iPod, listen through iTunes, or how do you do that?
No, I don't. I've listened to them mostly off the web.
Just listen off the computer? Okay. In all of my research that I've done multiple studies with students, and well over 80% of the students, they just go to a website like our Tech Talk for Teachers. You click that little play button, and you're there. I use a Zune, which is very similar to an iPod, and I really like the software that comes with the Zune. And it also allows me to be more portable. So that's the nice thing with an iPod or a Zune or any other MP3 player. I also really like the Creative Zen Stones, which are like $40, $50 devices. I've worked with some schools, like third and fourth graders. You know, I don't want to hand them a $200 iPod. I feel comfortable a $30 or $40 MP3 player. But just for that portability, and we set up some learning centers. We've done a lot with our Project WOW. Any other questions as far as setup and things on doing that?
Well, I guess the one thing that struck me was I don't know a lot of devices that I've used so far that use an SD card.
Uh-huh.
Is that something that most of the listeners are going to be familiar with?
Well, the digital recorders, there's always different levels, you know, whenever you go through. Whenever I started, I went to Radio Shack and bought, actually my daughter, when she was in school, she used it to record notes and things. She's an auditory learner, so that's how she made her study notes, and then she would listen back, you know, to that. And that was just a little $50, $60 audio recorder at Radio Shack, which uses a solid state device to record the sound to. Mm-hmm. In that particular model, you popped off the end and it turned into a USB stick and you just plugged it in. So it was all self-contained. The SD cards that I'm talking about are exactly like if you have a digital camera that uses the SD card. Uh-huh. It's the same card. It's just a storage device.
Okay.
Now, whenever I buy all of the computers for our labs, for example, every one of the computers in the ITC lab has the SD card readers. And like everything else, there's different flavors of cards, different sizes. We standardized on SD. You know, they're about the size of a postage stamp. I'm holding one up here. I'll have a picture in the show notes for that. But it's exactly like exactly like what's in your digital cameras out there.
About how much can they hold?
You can get them any, you know, various sizes. Today, typically, anywhere from a gigabyte, 2 gigabytes, 4 gigabytes, 8 gigabytes, of course. The price is going up as I go up there on the scale. I use a 4 gigabyte. That holds a tremendous amount of audio. It really doesn't take that much room. Again, another reason I favor audio podcast over video podcast, because of the size. Mm-hmm. And because I'm consuming these, you do have to download. So at home, I have a very slow internet connection. It takes a long time, but an audio file is very manageable. And schools will also find that, you know, they have limited bandwidth out there, especially when you have 100 people on at one time sharing the same pipe out there. I typically record on the 4 gigabyte, and I don't know, it will hold hours.
Okay.
Longer than our podcast is going to last year. Just like pictures, you know, whenever on a digital camera, you do have to clear it off every now and then. But the workflow that I have set up is we'll do this recording here. We'll stop the recording. I will pop it into the computer, copy the file, and import it into Audacity, and then we'll go through there. Now, this coming week for my undergrad class, we're actually going to get into some of the editing with Audacity. And I'll show you that here as soon as we finish. You know, it's one of those things. I've done it, you know, for so long and have helped so many people. It's always nice to have a fresh perspective. We just had this discussion in class last week. I'm giving my students a lot of freedom, mm-hmm. as far as what type of project. Prior to my assignment, I had a WebCT discussion where I required them to listen to at least 3 podcasts, 15 minutes or longer, and then comment on somebody else's review of those podcasts. So I was trying to get them into the podcast genre. And one of the comments was, well, some of these are really long and it's a little bit boring. And it's like, you know, how do you make this a little bit more exciting? Well, you know, the nice thing about podcast is it's voluntary. So you pick the subject area that you listen to. So hopefully you're interested in. And now then the challenge to my class is, okay, now that we've had those comments, how are you going to not make yours?
Right.
So, you know, kind of shoes on the other foot there. So I'm looking forward to some of those. And I've given them options, anything from, I said, well, you could do a 30-second public service announcement. I've had other students do that in the past. Mm-hmm. And their eyes kind of like, well, wow, that, you know, 30 seconds and I'm done. So they'll be experiencing the post-production edit, as you will hear in a minute. We'll record this for, you know, 10, 15 minutes, and it's probably going to take another hour on top of that to do the production to get it the way you want. Some people do a lot of editing. I tend to not edit as much as I probably should because it's very time consuming. But with the setup that we have here with you and I recording going into the mixer, we're recording live to hard drive, as they say here, mm-hmm. or in this case, the digital audio recorder. Do you have any other questions?
Yeah, I'm sort of curious as far as what the next step is. What makes podcasting different than just, you know, making a recording of yourself on your computer? How do you distribute it?
Okay. Without getting too technical, okay. there's something called RSS feeds. And the real technical definition of a podcast is, and we'll use audio for example, since this is an audio podcast, is it's a file on the internet, an audio file on the internet that can be subscribed to through something called RSS. It stands for really simple syndication. And that's getting way more technical than most teachers ever want to know or the average person wants to know. But the advantage to that is instead of you going out to a website, as you said, you listen to them on, you know, on a website. But right. Instead of you going out there next week, is there anything new? The RSS feeds will aggregate those feeds and send them to you. And the most common one is the iTunes program.
Okay.
So you go out to iTunes, and it's actually, I don't know on the new version 10, but on the older versions, it was underneath the advanced tab. Second or third choice down, it says subscribe to podcast. And if you go there, and if you know the RSS feed, and if you're visiting these websites, you'll probably see an orange symbol with like little waves coming out, which is a universal symbol for RSS. Mm-hmm. So if you click on that, it will say, here is the web address for the RSS feed. You just need to copy that into subscribe to podcast in iTunes and then click OK and you're subscribed.
And so then every time, as long as you're have live internet connection.
Exactly. Every time you open up iTunes, or as I said, I use Zune. Uh-huh. It's even simpler in Zune. You open up the Zune software. They've got a link across the top that says podcast. And then a button in the lower left-hand corner says subscribe to podcast. And you either type out that RSS feed or I just copy and paste it into that. And every time I open up the Zune software, in my case, the podcast is automatically downloaded. I subscribe to both audio and video podcast. And the video ones can be very large.
Right.
The advantage here at the university, we have a huge internet connection, so it's really nice. Once again, at home, my internet connection is much slower, and it takes a long time to download the video, so that's why I usually stick strictly to audio.
Okay. Where are most of these, hosted? Internet's a very big place, so do you just browse till you find them, or are there any central locations for podcasters?
Yeah, several different ways. iTunes has its own catalog. Here at the university, we have Eastern Illinois University iTunes U, so that's available. We have an actual site. It's eiu.edu/iTunes U, I believe. I'll put a link in the show notes for that. As far as hosting, the files actually reside locally wherever the podcaster chooses. And if you're a hobbyist podcaster, there's a company called Libsyn, which is very popular. For like $6 a month or something, you can host your files out there. And they provide the bandwidth and everything to do that. Here at the university, we have our servers locally, so the MP3 files are stored here. All iTunes is, and all the Zune Marketplace is just a catalog that points to those files. It's a misnomer. People think, well, we just upload it and it's out on iTunes server somewhere. It's not. It's local. It's just a pointer, and that's good for iTunes because they don't have any storage costs. It's distributed, every different place. So that's the way we call those podcatchers, the way that they work.
Okay. So you said I forget the name of the company you mentioned, Libsyn?
Yeah, Libsyn.
Okay.
With the popularity of all the smartphones and everything over 3G services, the wireless world, and we need to be careful here to differentiate, in the 3G phone company world, they have their own built-out network. And in my case, I have Verizon, and I have a cap that I can't download more than 5 gigabytes worth of data a month, or they charge me a quarter of a megabyte for every megabyte I go over or whatever. So I watch that very carefully, which again is another reason for the audio versus the video. I cannot watch very many YouTube videos over my 3G connection. I'll go over my cap very, very quickly. And I don't think the average consumer understands that. Mm-hmm. But if you're using 802.11, what we call B, G, or N, those are like Starbucks. You go in there and set up your laptop. That's an 802.11 service. So you're not capped with that. And it's much, much faster speeds than what you get over 3G. Now, the latest with Verizon, they're coming out with 4G and then what they call LTE, which is even a higher speed network. So you're going to see things explode. What's holding us back right now is the bandwidth availability for this. On my Droid phone, I subscribe to podcasts. I use the Listen service. Again, I just go out there. It says, what is the RSS feed? I type it in there, and then every new episode will be downloaded to me automatically. I never have to check again. Every time I turn on my Droid, it goes out and checks. You got anything new for me? Yes. Download it. No. Skip. Go on to the next one. But the subscriptions really make it nice because I essentially have a catalog of different things. Mm-hmm. And another reason I like the audio format is you can be driving down the road listening to it or doing the dishes, laundry, or whatever at home, exercising, whatever it might be. So you're multitasking. And in my world of ed tech, I have to keep up. Every week I subscribe to several different tech projects and listen to those just to keep up with all the changes in the world.
Right.
For the person starting out, I say, just forget about that because 80 to 90% of the people just go to a website and click. If you want to take it to the portability level and either download it to an iPod, a Zune, a Creative Zen, whatever MP3 player you choose, that gives you that freedom to move around. Mm-hmm. So right now we're in farming season. I can be out there on the tractor doing the harvest and things and catching up on the latest in ed tech.
Very efficient.
Yes. There's only so many hours in a day, so you've got to work it in there where you can. Okay, anything else, Lauren?
You've already mentioned that the sort of different varieties of podcasts are as limited as the number of people that want to podcast. So it seems like a pretty broad...
It's very diverse, and that's... the simplest definition for a podcast, it's like a radio show with a pause button. Mm-hmm. It's on demand. So those are two big pluses for podcasting. And for education, to be able to listen to something, hit pause, hit rewind. It's like, oh, I quite didn't understand that point. Let me rewind that and listen to it again and again, that repetition coming back, which we don't have in the classroom when we're doing a lecture. Right. And I'm guilty of it myself. I will go through some things and just skip over some things, and then you start seeing some glazed eyes or some questions, and it's like somebody didn't catch what I said. So that's where the student needs to raise their hand and say, hey, you threw out a term there that I don't even know what means. So they're sitting there trying to figure it out, yet you're going on down the road. Mm-hmm. So the advantage to be able to pause is great.
Yeah.
Okay, now we'll go ahead and wrap it up here. We've got a lot of work to do, so I'll show you all the magic on the post-production side here.
Exciting.
Yeah, and we'll get out of here. The other thing that many of the listeners may not know is it does take quite a bit of work. If I wanted to, I could just go out and just publish this without some of the oohs and ahs and some of the other mistakes that we may make here along the way. But I also add the music, and then I provide what we call ID3 tags, which with an MP3 file, it's like metadata. So I'll put my show number, the name of the title of the show, and all of that, so that if you do use an iPod or even like Windows Media Player or QuickTime, whatever, you will see the show title, the author, all those tags that you see on the portable players. Those are done in post production.
So it won't
as well.
Show up as unknown artist, track one of one.
Exactly. And I've got a lot of those too. And it's like, those are always, potpourri. It's like, what are we going to get here today?
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And as we go through the semester, I wanted to introduce you to this. So hopefully we'll get you started here. And there's all kinds of applications.
Yeah. Sounds very exciting.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
My technology pick of the week this week is a new beta version of Kindle for the web. Listeners of Tech Talk for Teachers well know that I am a big fan of the Kindle Reader and eBooks, and this week Kindle announced a new web version. Now, the advantage of this version is that you will be able to read a book sample from Amazon.com without leaving your browser. You do not have to download any software. Share book examples with your friends via email or social networks. So Amazon is building out their infrastructure so that you can easily look at samples, and if you so choose, click on the buy button, and in less than a minute, you will have that book delivered to you. You can embed a book sample in your personal blog or website, and there is a website out there specifically related to Kindle for the Web, and I'll provide that in the show notes. That wraps it up for episode 112 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I want to thank Lauren for being our guest interviewed today. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom.
And this is Lauren.
Keep on learning.